Time now to chat to one of our absolute favourites. His name is Ryan Harris. Took over 100 test wickets. He joins us this morning. G'day, Rhino.
G'day, boys. How are we going?
Going very well, mate. We can't wait for the test to get underway next week. How are you feeling about things? It's a nice time of the year.
Generally a nice time of the year, but it's been a very wet time of the year up here in Brisbane. And with the rain we've had, it's been unbelievable. It's sort of been solid for at least a week and a half. So it's a little bit different. Usually it's hot and humid, and the teams have generally probably had lots of outdoor training sessions, but they haven't managed to be able to do that. The two trial games have actually been, or practice games that they were had planned, have been called off. So they're been training indoors, doing a lot of indoor training, and hopefully, as of today, the rain clears a bit, so they can get outdoors leading into that next Wednesday.
So is that going to be a factor? Ryan, do you think that plays? I did read an article yesterday saying the soggy conditions and all these types of preparation things actually plays in the favour of the English. Is that going to hold the Australians back all that much?
I don't know if it's going to hold them back. It's obviously not ideal. I think majority of the England team have been here. Got here real early, obviously, because they came straight from England. The ones that weren't in the World Cup, which was your Joe Roots and Andersons and Broads and Stokes, and so they've had probably the better preparation. They've got here. They're obviously in quarantine down the Gold Coast, but they were able to train at Metricon Stadium, which have got pretty good facilities. So they're probably a little bit ahead. I mean, our guys have been playing T20 cricket, which has been good. But I think what you're sort of going to miss out on is being able to practice and bowl long spells at training and bowl five or six, seven overs and then come back again and do it again, which you obviously do quite a lot in the test match. So, this day and age, the guys are fit and strong. Not doing that for a while. I mean, their last test match was, last January, I think, against India. So it's been a while. Always that first couple of games, if you haven't done it, always sort of hits you a little bit harder or when you do it first time in training. Look, as I said, they're pretty fit and strong these days. But again, it would have been nice for them just to have a hit out in the middle. But that's not going to be the case. And they just have to go along with centre wickets. And hopefully, as I said, the weather dries up and they can get out in the nets.
Now, your domain is fast bowling, Rhino. Warnie's got personal beef with Mitchell Starc. We understand that. But how do you see this lineup? Is Jai Richardson a chance for the first test? Or would you back in Mitchell Starc for that different variation in bowling combination?
Oh, I don't know what stuff he's done to Warnie, but I'm backing him in. I know he bowled. Oh, look, I thought he bowled okay at the World Cup. He did what he needed to do. He did his job. But the thing for me is, if Mitchell Starc is swinging the ball, albeit a white one, it's a good sign. And I think he did that just about in every game he played in the World Cup over in Dubai and Abu Dhabi. So I'm keeping. As you said, he adds that little bit of variation as well. Jai, don't get me wrong as well, Jai Richardson bowling very well. He had a game against Queensland here about 2 weeks ago, and the boys said he bowled very quickly and swung the ball nicely. So, he's in good form as well. But I like Mitchell Starc for that variation, the left arm. And we all know he's not, as I said, I don't think he's far away. If Mitchell Starc swinging the ball, it means he's getting a good position with his wrist, and that's generally, allows you to put the ball consistently in the right spot. So I'd be backing him for the first test, especially at the Gabba. He loves the Gabba. But again, I'm not sure what he's done with Warnie. I'm a bit disappointed in that. I'm not a big fan of coming out and slaying in the media. I hope that Warnie's had a phone call to Starkey and explain what he's talking about.
Yeah, there you go. It's a little bit surprising. Warnie's been pretty harsh on a few situations, captaincy and all those types of things with Steve Smith also. But we will move on from that. Do you think, Ryan, is the 11 been, is it known now? Has it been selected and we're waiting to see what it's finally been? Or do you think there could be still some decisions to be made?
Oh, I think George Bailey and Paddy Cummins and Justin Langer would know it in the back of their heads. I guess they would have liked to have played those couple of games, probably just to confirm the 11, but I think they'd have a pretty good idea on what they want. We haven't heard the announcement yet, I guess, officially, I don't think. It's been rumoured in the papers about Alex Carey getting the nod, which for me is a good decision. And Josh Inglis is a very good player, but I think Alex Carey's bided his time over the last couple of years and done well. So I think if it is the case, it's good for Alex and nice to be able to give him the opportunity. But, I think they'd know it. with the weather being around, it's obviously not the ideal preparation for them. But it is going to be fascinating to see what they do come up with.
What's your gut feel for the number five spot? Is it Travis Head or Khawaja?
Yeah, I've done a couple of radio interviews in South Australia, and I apologise again to Travis Head, but I'm sort of leaning towards Uzi in a way that I just like Uzi's calmness and his experience in that middle order. He's batted sort of around that spot for Queensland this year, and done really well. I mean, don't get me wrong, Trav's done really well as well, but a bit more experience in Uzi in that position. But again, it's a tough decision. It's a good dilemma to have, both with that and the keeping this situation and the bowling situation. We've got players in form that have done well for their states. So the dilemma to have for George Bailey, it's a good dilemma as a selector to have that, whoever we pick, we know is going to should do a good job because they're in form.
So at top of the order, we're hearing that Marcus Harris is all but locked. Should he be locked? I mean, could that ever have been floated, the idea of Khawaja at the top?
Well, that's the other. Yeah, it could have been, absolutely. So Usman could have gone to the top and maybe travelling to number five. That I'm sure that would have been discussed as well. And that's the thing about Uzi. I mean, Uzi can bat anywhere. He has done in that Australian lineup before. He has done for Queensland. Trav has as well for South Australia. So you've got guys there that can do different roles and bat anywhere. I guess top order batters for me should be able to bat between probably 3 and 5 or 3 and 6. If not open as well. So it's a good dilemma to have. But again, it's probably messy. I'm sure the selectors would have just loved to have seen it and get out there and have a few games to see, just to confirm. But that's not the case. So it's going to be, as I said, it's going to be fascinating to see what they do.
So it's likely that there's no test in Perth, which is unfortunate. Mark McGowan's just gone cocoa bananas again and shut that down with some 14-day quarantine. So there'll be no fifth test there. Which ground in Australia gives Australia the best opportunity to win, do you think? Is it the MCG, SCG? I'm thinking Tasmania would probably give England the edge, given that could get some movement down there. But which deck do you think could give Australia the best opportunity?
Yeah, it's that one. In Perth. That's the one. That's the one we don't want to miss, because that's the one that, like the Gabba, other than last year when India beat us, but the teams don't handle it that well because of the bounce. And the bounce is probably a little bit more, a bit quicker and a bit more over in Perth. So that's a blow. I mean, we're not going there, let's be honest. If he's going to shut the borders and said what he said, they're not going to go there. So we probably need to make that decision. Cricket Australia need to make that decision pretty quickly. Where do they go? I mean, you'd go anywhere because the grounds are that good. If we're talking about conditions, it's going to best suit us because it's such a crucial test for us. You've probably got to come back to the Gabba, but I don't think they'll do that. I probably would like, although, as you said, Tassie's probably not the right conditions for us. They might suit England more, but Tassie probably do deserve a test match. They haven't had international cricket a lot down there in the last bit. So, that obviously can be nice for them to get a test match. But again, I really don't know where they're going to go with that. I think, they're talking about day night test cricket again, having another one. So it could be the MCG. I mean, the MCG, a day night test would be pretty good, let's be honest. So, that wicket's been up in the air as well over the last couple of years. So you want to make sure that if it's a fifth test and is a decider, you want to make sure that, it doesn't really matter because we hold the urn. So that probably won't matter anyway. But you just want to see a good series on good wickets that produce results.
Mate, you mentioned Brisbane. What's going on with the Gabba and how's it looking ahead of the first test?
Yeah, I haven't been out there for a couple of days, but it's I was out there, 2 weeks ago. It's in great condition. It's the ground itself, they haven't really let us on it. Actually, Queensland guys, they've been doing it up beautifully. They've had a shield game there. The outfield was rapid. It's probably the quickest I've ever seen the Gabba, and beautiful. So it'll be picturesque, it'll be beautiful conditions. The wicket, the grounds was in the paper yesterday, saying he's had a challenge, obviously, with the rain. But again, he'll be right. And again, the next few days will be hopefully a little bit of heat, so he'll be able to work on that. But it'll be pristine and nice and lush, and it'll look great come that Wednesday. There's no doubt. With the rain, it obviously just sucks it up, the water. So, you can have a storm here and it can be flooded and you can be playing within an hour. So the outfield always handles the wet pretty good.
Do Does it make you feel old, Rhino, that Cam Green was only 14 years of age when he sat in the stands at the Wacker and watched your absolute peach of a delivery first innings to Alastair Cook to rattle his off stump?
It does now. You mentioned that. I didn't know that. Yeah, I mean, far out is it? Yeah, it's that long ago now. I mean, I must admit, I miss playing to an extent. Leading into this series and being here and seeing all the hype, I'm actually a little bit of FOMO, fear of missing out here. I wish I was still playing. I love the build up to an Ashes series. It's such a great build up, and you know the excitement of the players being in where I work in Queensland. It's right next door, and seeing him around, and it's such an exciting time, and I do really miss. That build up and that feeling and the excitement going into an Ashes. So it is a long time since that ball. I can tell you that as well. But it's going to be awesome. We just need this weather to stay away.
Can you just please elaborate on that delivery for me just a little bit? Because if it's not the best delivery this century, I'm not sure what is. Talk us through it. I'm sure you've been asked a million times, but just the feeling of bowling the perfect delivery.
Yeah, people are probably sick of me here talking about it. But,
No, I'm not.
I appreciate that. It was one of those. I guess it's one of those balls that you try and bowl every time you bowl, and it was a funny feeling. Get running in because I didn't quite feel. I was quite stiff and sore from bowling a few overs a couple of days before, and I didn't quite feel great running in. So, part of me said stop. Stop running, and the other part of me said, keep going and just get through it and get it through to Hads, who was behind the stumps, and I did, and obviously what happened. So I don't know how it happened with that ball, because I've tried so many times to bowl a ball like that, and it hasn't sort of eventuated. So, look, it's always nice. I have to thank everyone. Every year it comes up on my birthday, which is in October, and then Cricket Australia have given it a good run in this series. So it's always nice to get that recognition, I guess. It's a great little personal recognition. But, I mean, that test match for me, that ball happened, but it was winning the Ashes in Perth. That was the big one there.
And the fact that it was Cook and there were so many amazing players back then. Your favourite Ashes opponent from back in the day?
That's a tough one. I mean, I love bowling to Alistair Cook. I feel as though I played a lot of my test cricket against England, so I felt like I had some really good battles against him. And it was always a big wicket for us because he was, we couldn't get him out in 2010 when they came here and he scored a squillion runs. And so you know, every series that he comes here now, or we came here before he retired, it was always one that we needed to get out early. And we knew that England built their innings around him. So, well, I had some great battles with him. Probably the other one was, there's a lot. I mean, Ian Bell, Jonathan Trott, you know, but Kevin Peterson was the other one. He was so hard to bowl to. He was one that, because of his size and his skill, was just unbelievable. He had to change of length, had to change of line, because your normal length, he'd just get on top of the bounce and hit. So Kevin Peterson at his best was really hard to bowl to, and probably the hardest sort of player I bowled to during my career.
Yeah, a couple of really talented South African cricketers involved in there, no doubt, Rhino. So what's your prediction then coming up for this series?
I'd love to say 5-0. We want to say 5-0, don't we? But I think it's going to be a close series, or closer series than what we're sort of saying. I think we'll win. I don't know where England are going to win a test. But look, I'm not a big fan of predictions, but let's go 4-0. There'll be a draw somewhere. England will go close, but I don't think they'll win one. They've gone 9 tests, I think, in the last 2 series over here without 10 tests and haven't won one. They've drawn one, and we've won 9. So it's fair to say they're due. But again, they've probably brought their most inexperienced team over here, which is a danger as well. You know, you never sort of discount them because obviously they are all good cricketers, but let's say 4-0. I think there might be a draw in there somewhere. Maybe, hopefully not, but maybe Brisbane with the rain.
We'll see how this all unfolds. Maybe hope the Aussies get up. Always unbelievably generous with your time, Rhino. We really appreciate that. Hopefully we'll speak to you again. And I know you're probably sick of it, but thanks for recapping that ball, because we're never going to get sick of it.
No, no problem. I'm down there actually for Adelaide Test, I think, for the last couple of days. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So that'd be good.
Nice.
Excellent. Hopefully we bump into you.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying. Don't worry about that, Coozy. Don't worry about it. I'm trying to get a couple of cashies. We'll keep that on my hat.
Very good stuff. Ryan Harris joining us this morning.